Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is Nerd Nuptial episode 95. For those of you, if this is your first time listening, we are a married couple who look at life through a nerd lens. Thank you so much for joining us. We have a lot to talk about today.
Yeah, actually, we do.
We have a lot of media to discuss, a lot of Lost in Space, the reboot, just dropped on Netflix over the weekend or on Friday. And we finally got to see Isle of Dogs.
That's right. We went to the theater.
It finally came out in wide release.
Mm-hmm.
And that was super exciting because we're huge Wes Anderson films. And just this second.
Fans, you mean?
What did I say?
Films.
Films. We are Wes Anderson films. It's just the color yellow constantly in our lives. And we just finished catching up on The Greatest Showman that just came out.
Yeah.
It's coming out on DVD the day after that this is released,
mm-hmm.
and so we went ahead and bought a digital version.
Right.
Finally got to catch up on that because all of our friends and family were saying, you have to watch this, you have to watch this, even though it has like a 51 or 55. 55 on Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. But before we get into all of that, if you remember last week, we talked about an issue that was going on with the Nerd Party,
mm-hmm.
about how we unfortunately got hit with a legal claim. And we're trying to fight it. We're currently trying to fight this legal claim and stand our ground. And because of that, we started a GoFundMe at GoFundMe.com/TheNerdParty. And we set a goal of $8,100. And that every single cent of that GoFundMe is going to go towards legal bills and legal costs and the legal fund and everything like
that.
Because whatever we can't raise has to come out of our own personal pockets.
Yeah, the Riddell Fund.
The Riddell Fund. And mm-hmm. we're trying to offset that cost as much as possible. But we debuted that a week from today that you're listening to
this.
And within that 1 week.
By Friday,
like less than a week, a work week, we had over 1,000 in the GoFundMe and over 1,000 in private donations. And so we're already a quarter of the way there in 1 week.
It was overwhelming, like just how much support and messages that you guys sent and everything like that. And it was just really moving, seriously. It was just very kind.
We mean that mm-hmm.
very sincerely.
Very sincerely, with extreme sincerity, because a lot of you guys who donated sent messages saying, I hope this helps. I know it's not a lot. Some people did give a lot. Some gave what they could.
Right.
Any amount was appreciated.
Absolutely.
And I tried to send a thank you note to every single person who donated. And some people were saying, you know, like, thank you so much for all the great episodes. Some people say, like, really sad that this happened to you. I got a lot of messages from people saying, they were really honest with me. They were saying, like, hey, man, love the show. Love you and the girl. I can't give anything right now.
Right, which we totally get.
Which I totally understand. Mm-hmm. But they said, but I'm going to talk about this wherever I can. I'm going to talk with family and friends. I'm going to post it on my blog. You know, like I'm going to retweet this. I'm going to share it on Facebook. And just all these people, whether they donated or not, they helped us out.
Yeah,
by giving
absolutely.
Us exposure.
And, you know, we can't, unfortunately, like, share the details of specifically, which I know some people kind of reached out and were like, hey, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
But just know that, like, because of legal reasons, we can't talk about specifics or anything
because
like
it's
that.
Ongoing.
Right.
Because we're in the middle of it.
Exactly. But we really appreciate, with not knowing the details, you guys were willing to support us, and we are seriously so grateful.
It's honestly, we knew we had great fans.
We knew
we had great listeners. And you guys have proved it over and over and over again, and especially this past week.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And we thank you guys. We love you guys. And we still have a long way to go, though.
Yeah, we do.
We do. Even though we've made great strides in 1 week, we still have a long way to go. And so please, please help us if you can. If you cannot donate, if you cannot give, we completely understand. But there are other ways that you can do it. You can share it on Facebook. Mm-hmm. If you go to facebook.com/TheNerdParty, it's the top post. Share that in your personal timeline. Share it with your friends and family.
Absolutely.
Write a personal message. If you can go to Twitter at twitter.com/joinnerdparty. It's the top post there. And you can find us on gofundme.com/thenerdparty. Again, that's gofundme.com/thenerdparty. And if you don't, for whatever reason, if you don't want to give or use GoFundMe, I don't know why. Some people don't. You can give us a private donation via PayPal at paypal.me/thenerdparty. Again, that's paypal.me/thenerdparty. And if you want to share it on social media, use the hashtag TNPFight. That's a lot of information.
It's a lot.
just all you got to remember is gofundme.com/thenerdparty.
And like we talked about last week, we won't talk about this every single week, but just for the next like two episodes, we will, just because we're trying to fight it as hard as we can in this month, basically.
This month. We're trying as hard as we can this month. And we're not going to focus on it a lot.
And we don't ask for money. We're not to that type of network. And this is the first time that's happened. And hopefully it'll be the last time.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So.
All right. Well, let's go ahead. Thank you. But let's go ahead and move on.
Yeah.
So we want to talk about Lost in Space, Greatest Showman, Isle of Dogs. Isle of Dogs is going to be the main feature.
Yes.
Because it's a Wes Anderson film.
Right.
That's an event.
We're huge fans. So, of Wes Anderson. We'll have to talk about whether
we will have to talk about that, yeah. Okay, so Lost in Space. I was super excited about this one.
You have more nostalgia with this.
I do, but it's kind of funny that you say that, because I'm young enough to have nostalgia based on the movie.
Okay.
And I know some people are just kind of shaking their heads right now. Because I never really, you know, watched the show.
Mm-hmm.
I was aware of it. You know, like, you know, I had Nick at Night, just like everybody else.
Right.
And, you know, like, we'd go over to the grandparents' house and they'd be playing on the TV in black and white and cardboard sets and everything. but I never really got into it, and I never really had access to it. I'd love to actually watch a few episodes now. But when the movie came out, I was just at the exact right age. I was like 11, 10, something like that. And
so like a Will Robinson age.
Yeah, I was a Will Robinson age. Yeah. And my dad took me to go see it. And so it was just the two of us. And, the father-son dynamic is a big part of the movie and the show. And it's not a good movie. But I love it.
Okay.
It's a good movie to me.
Gotcha. Got it. Because you have fond memories of watching it.
I have fond memories of watching it. It's fun. It's silly. It's corny. It's cheesy. it's just good sci-fi action adventure film with cheesy acting. But I really like it. And so when this show was coming out, it kind of had a Battlestar Galactica vibe to it when we saw the advertisements.
I can see that,
And if you look at the original Battlestar Galactica show, you know, it's older, it's cheesy too, but it still had a darker edge to it. It wasn't like Lost in Space.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of those, like, I could tell some of the liberties that they were taking where, like, they made Dr. Smith a woman, the great Parker Posey, and the robot didn't come with them on Jupiter 2. It's an alien life form that they discovered. I thought that was cool. And it looks like they're a part of a colony ship moving forward, which is a little bit different. And so there's tons and tons of Jupiters. We actually see those Jupiters. And people are stranded together, kind of like Lost, kind of like
That's
Battlestar
true.
Galactica.
Yeah.
And in the TV show, it's very much just centered around them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was pretty excited about it. But do you want to talk about when
well,
we actually
I had,
saw it?
Well, I had no real connection to Lost in Space.
No, none?
No, seriously. Like, I knew Danger Will Robinson, but that's about it. And I knew that was, like, you know, a reference, but that was pretty much it. Like, I don't even remember watching it, like, at Nick at Night or anything like that. And I never saw the movie. So you were just like, oh, I'm so excited. I can't wait to watch this on Netflix. So I was like, all right, babe, let's watch it.
You did have a lot of fake enthusiasm.
I did.
It was very kind of you.
I was like, it doesn't look great.
I thought it looked great.
I was just like, I'm skeptical.
So what were you thinking before we sat down to watch it?
Well, I didn't like, can I say this? I don't like Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, that's fine. I honestly, I'm not one of those zealots who think that Battlestar Galactica was the greatest thing to ever happen to people. Some people next do, to Jesus. Though.
So I did not like it, though. I did not like Battlestar Galactica. So the fact that it kind of felt like that, that's probably why I was kind of like, I'm not sure if I'm going to like this. But I was willing to give it a shot. I just wasn't like jazzed. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, maybe this will be good. Awesome. But I wasn't super excited and I didn't have really any expectations. But we did watch a lot of it. We're not actually done.
No, which is very surprising because we try to, when we review a show, especially a Netflix show that drops a season at a time, you know, we'll record late on Sunday nights just to give us Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Right.
To watch the show, especially if there's 10 episodes.
Right. And remember, we have Ripley, so it takes us a little longer to watch things now.
It's true. It was a whole lot easier to watch movies and television and binge
yes.
before children. I think any parents listening can understand that a great deal. so we got 6 episodes in, but honestly, I'll straight up right off the bat, it was kind of a chore to get through.
It's very slow. It takes its time. It's too slow.
We're all about the slow burn.
Oh, you know, yeah.
We like Westworld, Breaking Bad, Mad Men, and everything
like
that.
We like things that take its time, but I felt like their most interesting episode was the first one.
Even then,
I was like, why is this here? Because there was a lot of, you know, excitement in the first episode, if you want to check it out. Because I don't want to give too many spoilers. We don't want to,
I don't really want to spoil anything.
If you're interested in watching it. But, man, it takes its time. And, like, I love the kids, specifically Penny. I think she's cute. But I'm kind of like, eh.
Yeah, it's very, eh. That's the thing. It's like, if you could sum up the show in one word, it's eh, eh.
Well, it's pretty bad, like, when you're like, hey, do you want to watch another episode? And I'm kind of like, not really.
I'd rather watch The Greatest Showman, yeah.
Right, like, eh, not really.
It's too bad because when you really get into a show, especially a Netflix show, you want to be able to say, yeah, I can't wait. Let's keep going. Because that's Netflix's model is just binging.
Mm-hmm.
It's just consuming it as fast as possible.
Right.
Not doing it week to week, but doing it in a weekend.
Right.
And when you get a show like Lost in Space, because there's not that many sci-fi shows out there. They're very rare.
There's not. It's hard to find them.
Yeah.
And, especially new material.
And the thing about Lost in Space is that it's not bad. It's not a bad show.
No.
It's not cringeworthy. It's not like, oh, this is so horrible or disgusting. It's just boring.
Yeah. Exactly. It's boring.
It's just boring. Like, all the elements are there to make a good, interesting, intriguing show.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, I saw I saw somebody online actually just before we started. His username is The Spoilist, and he's been an online friend of mine for a while. And he was talking about how he said that he was kind of sounded like an old man, where he wasn't really he's not as much of a fan of prestige television as everybody else is. Where he doesn't like a show he doesn't want to see a season of television be treated like a 10-part movie.
Mm.
He likes 45 minutes with, you know, a 5-act structure or a 3-act structure with a protagonist who has a journey from beginning to end in that 45 minutes.
I think that this show could have benefited from that
formula. I agree.
I'm not saying every show benefits from that, but I think this type of show would have benefited.
Lost in Space, like you said, particularly, could have had a craziness of the week.
Right.
A craziness of the episode.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, even if it's binge-worthy, even if it's dropped a season at a time, you can have many adventures in every single episode. And right now, they don't really have those.
No, it's much more, like you said, I didn't think about it, but more the Lost format where you have, it's taking place over, like, a few days the first season.
Yeah.
And you have a few flashbacks here and there throughout.
But I kind of wish we had more flashbacks.
Yes, absolutely.
And Lost still knew, like, Lost was still on network television.
Right.
And so it still had the beauty of a beginning,
true.
Middle, and end.
It still
episode.
Had something happen. Like, you can say, well, that was the episode with the polar bear.
Right, yeah.
Whereas this one is like, what exactly happened in that episode?
Like, there was an episode where they took the robot to a cave. And then
that was pretty much it.
And then the parents got trapped underneath the satellite dish. That's it. That was one episode.
Right.
And they stretched that for an hour.
Yeah.
And you're just watching. You're just like, what is going on? And it should have been a footnote. It should have been a conversation piece. Right. There's so much that we saw. There's so much that we witnessed that should have just been referenced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like they did a really good job in the first episode of character building. Like, I knew who those characters were immediately, and I appreciated that. But I feel like, I just feel like they really didn't, they don't have a good momentum going.
They don't have good momentum.
Yeah.
And this would have made a great three-hour movie, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, maybe we'll learn more when we finish it.
But I do feel like it would have benefited from more of an episode type structure.
Episode driven.
Yes.
Like episodic.
Absolutely.
Episodic, yeah.
Yeah. Is it just me? Okay, this is my gripe, I think. I think when I see, you know, movies like Alien that actually creates its own outer space world, like, you know, when we go out into outer space, we're a colonist, okay, like similar idea, okay? And we're in outer space and we create our own world that's like unique. And doesn't have as many, I mean, I guess you have some Earth elements, but like, for example, in Lost in Space, they're like, oh, cool, there's like a forest, awesome. It bothers me because I feel like it's not creative enough.
Oh, that's actually one thing that I wanted to talk about.
And oh, really?
This may sound a little ridiculous, but it feels like a cheap show.
Well, yeah, because it's like, oh, we'll just use this location and we'll add a little CGI here to make it a little unique, but oh cool, we have the same atmosphere as Earth, and it felt like we're just phoning in the environment, and that should be more of a presence,
yes,
more of a character in that type of, when you're lost in space, I don't want you lost in the forest. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And that's the thing, is that like in the first episode, and like you praised the first episode. I didn't really dig on the first episode that much.
At least something happened.
But the thing is, though, is that like for a first episode, for an introduction, because it's not a pilot, like Netflix doesn't do pilots, but for the first episode, it was a very cheap first episode. It was all pretty much one location.
Yes.
And it was a set. It was a small set in a frozen tundra. And yes, there was a few shots where they're like, you know, walking in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, like they have the set of the ship. But overall, 90% of it took place in a cave.
Yeah.
And I like,
yeah, well,
like,
yeah.
Okay, I know some people are probably calling me crazy, but like it was a very cheap first episode up until like the last 5 minutes, like with the introduction of the robot.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you see the Resolute, their ship, mm-hmm. or, like the colony ship. And then when they get like sucked into a wormhole or whatever it was, like yeah, like that was,
well,
some
the ice part I thought was interesting.
It was interesting, but it was. I'm saying for a 2018 sci-fi show on Netflix.
Okay, I'll give you that. Well, all right. Here's the thing though: is after that episode, that's where they lost me.
Yeah.
Like that was the most interesting episode so far.
It's true. I'm seeing a lot of mixed reaction online so far. A lot of people saying, hey, does this get better, folks? Like, mm-hmm. I'm through
well,
the first episode.
I think we're on episode seven.
Six or seven.
We will maybe eventually get back to it.
No, we'll get back to it,
but I'm not eager.
I'm not going to binge it.
Yeah, no. I think it'll be like, you want to watch this? Okay.
Yeah, pretty much, which is really sad.
Yeah.
Which is really sad, so.
Well, let's talk about something else. Let's talk about The Greatest Showman.
Real quick.
Yeah. Because it's been out for a while. We didn't watch it in theaters, honestly, because we watched the trailer and both of us were like, that looks terrible.
Yeah. Like when I saw the trailer, I just kind of laughed. I was like, oh, that's going to be horrible. That looks like garbage. That's just, and like, I wasn't trying to be snooty.
And I'm a huge Hugh Jackman fan.
You're a huge Hugh Jackman fan.
I love Hugh Jackman.
We both love musicals.
Yeah, we do.
So it's not like we were turning our nose up on it or anything like that. It's just something about it.
It just kind of looks a little. So, but like all our friends and family were like, no, it's amazing. You don't understand. But all the critics were giving it like.
It was kind of half and half.
Yeah,
with the
critics. They were kind of like,
yeah.
It doesn't look great. So we watched it. What did you think of it? Because I haven't honestly asked you.
I was entertained because I had a, it was a very low bar.
Okay.
For me, because of what we just said. But I had, we had so many friends just say like, no, you, it was so, it, like, I remember one person said it was a delight. One people, a lot of people said it was super entertaining. My parents bought the soundtrack, like they bought it like on the way home. They bought the soundtrack and they just have been listening to it nonstop for 4 months. But you know, I was expecting it to be entertaining and that's what I got. I think it's no Chicago. It's no Sound of Music.
Well, no, because those no have Moulin like, Rouge. Those are actual musicals. Like, they didn't just come up with that. Like,
Moulin Rouge wasn't a musical. That
well,
just...
okay, I guess you're right. Moulin Rouge is like an anomaly. But this felt like a musical made in 2018 or 2017.
That's weird because it was.
Well, I'm just saying that like the music was very iconic of this time. Like,
yes, it's
there's
very modern.
No way that you would have gotten that in another decade.
like with Chicago, it's very jazzy.
Of course,
of the
yeah,
time
it follows a genre. Whereas yeah. This is like, oh, this musical is a 2018 musical, which I didn't really dig.
No,
but I'm a huge critic when it comes to musicals. Like, it has to be amazing for me to really like it, especially when it comes on screen. So.
Yes, this...
Because I usually like it in person if it's a musical. Like, I like it in the theater.
This wasn't mind-blowing. This wasn't upper echelon. This won't change your life. But I was entertained. I thought it was...
It was fun.
I thought it was fun. I didn't like all of the music, but I liked some of it. And it's...
It all sounded the same, though. Can I make that criticism?
Yeah,
like,
I
every
think so.
Song felt... I mean, I know that some people are going to say, like, well, yeah, like... Most musicals have like a central theme or whatever, but it just felt like I don't know if I could tell you the difference between the songs.
Yes.
Like, I couldn't necessarily right now tell you like, oh, it's that song. Like, yeah. I don't know. Only thing that comes to mind is the opera singer's song, which wasn't an opera singer, which really bothered me.
That bothered me too, because if they didn't say, oh, Jenny Lind is one of the greatest opera singers of all time.
That was in no shape... At all opera.
No. Like, if they just said, oh, she's one of the greatest singers of all time.
Exactly.
I would have been like, great. But it kind of took me out of it because the moment she opened her mouth, I was like, oh, she's a pop singer.
Exactly. Whereas, you know.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was a great song.
I mean, I didn't particularly like the actress who was in Phantom of the Opera that came out with Gerard Butler. And Gerard Butler didn't do the greatest justice to Phantom of the Opera. Don't get me wrong. But, like, at least they were trying to, like. Do it in the style of you know, an opera.
Yeah.
Whereas this was just like, oh, she's a pop singer. Cool. And she just sits there and it's pretty.
But yeah, so, yeah. I'd give it 3.5 stars.
Oh, that's so high.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, what would you give it?
2.
Wow. Come on.
2.5.
2.
I probably will. I don't have any need to see it again.
Okay. I would probably watch it again. Down the road, years from now, with a little baby. I don't know. Okay, so there you go. There's that.
My favorite part was the tightrope. What is it called?
Trapeze.
Trapeze, yeah. That, like, the sexy trapeze.
With Zac Efron and what's her name?
Zendaya?
Yeah. Spider-Man? Yeah. Spider-Man girl?
Mary Jane.
Mary Jane, the new Mary Jane?
Yeah.
I didn't really dig on that much.
Oh, I liked it.
Okay, well, there
it
you go.
Sexy.
I just kept thinking about High School Musical whenever I see him. He'll never be able to shake that. I'm sorry, man.
Aw. All right, let's talk what I really want to talk about.
I know,
Isle
right?
of Dogs.
Isle of Dogs. Yes, Wes Anderson, Isle of Dogs. We
That's
were
right.
waiting so long for this. We actually promised this to you guys weeks ago.
And it wasn't in theaters.
And it wasn't
near us.
Because I just didn't do my research properly.
Right.
I thought because we live in the Chicagoland area that we would get it sooner.
No.
But we did not. And then it had limited release. And then it had like a semi-release and then a wide release. And we could have gone downtown for a semi-release, but I was like, eh. And then finally we got wide release just this past weekend. And I was... So those of you who know Wes Anderson's work, you know that he's not a kid's director. Like...
No, like when you watch Fantastic Mr. Fox, Like, yes, it's puppets, it's claymation, mm-hmm. but it's not, like, that story is not really for kids, but maybe a little more than this one.
That's the thing, is that, like, as I'm watching, I'm just like, oh, yeah, Fantastic Mr. Fox looks, compared to Isle of Dogs, Fantastic Mr. Fox yes. is very much a kid's movie.
That is true.
But if you asked me before we saw Isle of Dogs, is Fantastic Mr. Fox a kid's movie, I'd be like, eh, sorta.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, it's like, we really are lucky because my parents babysit Ripley all the time for us to go to see films, which is like we have free babysitting, which is pretty awesome.
Pretty much whenever we want. Yeah.
And they love it. So I was like, they were like, well, what are you going to go see? And I was like, well, it's Wes Anderson, which means nothing to you, but it is a claymation puppet movie. And they're like, oh, for kids? And I'm like, No, not really. It's for adults. Like, it's for hipster adults is what I said.
Yeah, but then, like, the moment you say it's for adults, people are like, oh, is it like a saucy puppet show?
Right. They're thinking, like, what was that, like, puppet show?
Everybody's a little bit racist. What is it called?
Crap. America something.
Oh, you're thinking of something else.
Oh, I don't know.
I was thinking of Avenue Q.
Yeah, well, they're thinking that, right?
They're thinking Avenue yeah. Q, but you're thinking of Team America.
Right. Yeah. I think they think that when mm-hmm. I say, like, well, it's for adults, or they think like Family Guy or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but it's not inappropriate.
Yeah, it's not
it's
dirty.
It's just not for kids. It just wouldn't be interesting
their type
to
of
kids.
Humor.
Exactly. But we walk into the theater and everyone brought their kids.
There's tons of kids.
Tons. Like, one little girl near us, like, had her Barbie in the cup holder, like, watching the movie. And I was like,
adorable.
Okay, readjust mindset. Because at first I thought, oh, we're just going to be in there with some hipsters, like, some people our age or
like
whatever.
Like, maybe they'll ride in on a unicycle or something.
Right, right. And then I walk in and I'm like, oh, people brought their children because they saw dogs.
And just like you said, you had to readjust your mindset. It was
yes.
just like, okay, kids are going to talk. Kids are going to ask questions.
Right.
It's okay. It's
right.
okay.
Right.
But like when we said this to your parents, your mother said like, oh, they just brought their kids along because they wanted to see it. And we're like, no, it felt like they brought their kids to see the movie.
Yeah. It felt like they saw dogs.
Yeah. It wasn't
and
like,
they're
oh.
like, oh, my kid loves dogs. And yeah. then they were like, all right, let's watch this movie with dogs in it. It did not feel like they were Wes Anderson connoisseurs.
I just wanted to go up to this little four-year-old and say, do you like Bottle Rocket? What did you think of Jason Schwartzman's performance in in Rushmore?
That's right. Yeah. yeah. Maybe they have an opinion. Our kid probably will. So.
I hope so. She better. But within the first 30 seconds of the movie, I start laughing out loud because
oh, I know me too.
I was just like, this is going to be horrible for the kids in the room.
Because what does it say? It says, it's all in Japanese.
It's mostly
in Japanese and translated or like written out.
Like, or not at all.
Or not at all.
Or it's just in Japanese.
Exactly. And we're like, oh, these poor children.
These poor children.
There's so much translation throughout.
There's so much reading,
exactly.
translation, and foreign language.
I'm like, oh, no. But
we were expecting walkouts,
they didn't.
But we didn't get any.
None.
No walkouts.
Which I was so surprised. And actually, the kids were really well behaved.
It was a very good audience.
It was.
I mean, there was a few like whispers like, Dad,
right.
Dad,
I have to pee.
Yeah, stuff like that. Other than that,
can
was...
I have my jujubes?
I love kid whispers.
I know, because there's nothing quiet about
there's,
it.
There's nothing whispering about it.
No.
But it was, onto the movie though. It was just right off the bat, it was Wes Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
And that you, when you go see a Wes Anderson film,
that's what you're going for.
You get Wes Anderson.
Right.
And I love that. I mm-hmm. love that about Wes Anderson. And this movie was dry. It was hilarious. It was inappropriate. It was weird. It was unnecessary in parts in a good way. And I loved it.
I did too. I think you loved it more than I did.
I'd think so.
But I loved it too. And I think you hit it on the head. Like when you go to see a Wes Anderson film, you want to see Wes Anderson, and he always delivers. always, because he knows who he is as a director, and he knows that people want to see that. You know, they want to see the hipster movie, the symmetry, the pretty colors, the dry sense of humor, you know, the quick head turns. That's what they want.
The zooms.
Yes, the zooms. They want that. Yeah. So I delivered for me, too. I loved it.
It's, I'm trying to, the thing that blew me away, honestly, was the cinematography.
Isn't that so funny?
And when you think about it, you like, when you think, oh, claymation or puppets, you don't think cinematography. But this was a beautiful movie.
It was beautiful. Yeah.
Tristan Oliver was the cinematographer. And he was the cinematographer on Fantastic Mr. Fox and Chicken Run.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so this guy is no stranger to stop motion.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, like, I know that because it's technically animated, it's not he's not eligible for a cinematographer in the Oscars, but I think he should be.
It was so good.
Because there's so many times when you forget that you're watching claymation. You forget that you're watching stop motion. Like, there was one particular scene where they, I almost called him Akira. It's not Akira. It's
Atari.
I don't know why I said Akira. But Atari is asleep. The boy, the Japanese boy who's trying to find his dog, is asleep. And they're in a hovel of bottles,
sake
of glass bottles,
yeah.
of sake bottles and everything like that, of different colors.
Yeah.
And it's illuminated from the back. And so you just see silhouettes and outlines of the dogs, and they're discussing of what to do the next morning. Do we help out the kid? Do we not? And it's beautiful. It's breathtaking.
Is. Yeah, it's true.
And I was just in awe of it while I was watching it. And I've never seen that before with a stop motion film. Now, I've seen a lot of stop motion films, and I've been very impressed with stop motion films, but I've never stopped and gone, this is art.
Yeah, no, it's true. Like, I think that you wouldn't find that also in, like, the environment that they placed the movie, where
Garbage Island.
But they found ways to make it gorgeous. It was weird. Yeah, it was beautiful. You're absolutely right. Can we get into spoilers? Or should we talk a little bit longer about just, like, the generals?
Let's talk a little bit longer about the generals, then we can go into spoiler territories and everything like that. So, the voice actors.
Oh, every time one of the characters opened their mouth, I just started laughing.
Yeah.
Because it was just so spot on, and I was like, they got that guy? They got that?
Yeah. Just right off the
bat. Jeff Goldblum?
They got Jeff Goldblum, Ed Norton, Bill Murray, all of these usual players. Brian Cranston was a new face.
Oh, my gosh. And perfect.
You kept giggling whenever Brian Cranston.
I know I did.
Because you just kept thinking about Breaking Bad.
I did.
I could tell. Like, because I just leaned over and I was just like, you're thinking about Breaking Bad, aren't you? You're like, yes.
He fits in that world, man. Like, the Wes Anderson world.
I hope we see him in a live
like
action.
Like a Bill Murray?
I'd love to see him be added to the Wes Anderson troupe.
That'd be awesome.
Like Ed Norton was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we got Ed Norton in Moonrise, then we got him in Budapest.
That's true.
Now we got him in Isle of Dogs.
It feels, Wes Anderson seems to be a director that keeps his players, and they want to work with him again, which I get it. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah, I think the only person who was like a one-off, or actually two people who were one-offs, were George Clooney and Meryl Streep. I think those are the only two one-offs that I can think of.
I'm sure there are more.
I'm sure there's more.
But, yeah, those are specifically, like, leads.
I just thought of Adrian Brody. No, Adrian Brody had a minor part in Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, anyway. So, just the voice cast is on point.
Tilda Swinton.
Tilda Swinton had, like, two lines.
But you knew who it was, and it was amazing.
Yeah. seriously, just the voice acting was just so great. And it was one criticism I have of it. I have two criticisms. Like, it was a little slow in parts. Like,
a little bit.
Two parts in particular, I was just kind of like, oh, okay, come on. We can get rolling a little bit. Even though it's 140, it's an hour and 45 minutes, it felt longer, which isn't necessarily a good thing or a bad thing. It just kind of is. But the other thing is that this isn't spoiling anything, but there is a point where the pack gets separated from Bryan Cranston. And so we focus more on Bryan Cranston's character a little bit. I was a little chagrined at that.
Me too.
I wanted more of the ensemble.
Because I really enjoyed the ensemble. So if I felt like I was cheated a little bit because I was just like warming up to like, oh, I love this dynamic, and then they took it away.
I'd say that's probably the biggest criticism that I have.
Yeah, I get that. Completely.
Is that one?
Yeah, but that's not much.
It really isn't. Because, like, yeah, you're saying you're like, oh, I wanted more of this great thing.
Right, exactly.
Like, that's your criticism.
That's a great criticism.
So let's go ahead and go into spoiler territory.
Okay.
We definitely think that you should go see it.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Go see it. Go support this movie.
Yeah.
It's probably not going to make a lot of money.
Probably not.
But that's okay. Wes Anderson films don't need to make a lot of money.
Nope. Because they'll all come out on Criterion. Does he have like a deal with Criterion?
He has to, right?
Like every movie he makes is Criterion.
There has to be some sort of under the table deal going
there
on.
There must be.
But yeah, let's. We loved it.
Yes, go see it.
Go support it. Go see it. Spend your money. Go see it in the theater. It was worth the theatrical experience because it's so beautiful.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's go ahead and get into spoiler territory. What did you want to spoil?
I don't know. Now I can't remember.
Now you don't know.
I can't remember. Well, some parts that I was looking around the theater, and I was like, first of all, Atari has a clutch in his head.
Yeah.
Like, in like the entire movie.
He's in an airplane crash.
Yes.
And he has a metal pipe sticking out of his head.
And I was like, well, that would be hard to explain to Ripley. Like,
and he tries to rip it out, and then blood just sprays out.
Exactly. And he like passes out. And then there's also like a moment of them making sushi. And it's very, like, aggressive making sushi. And
Take a live fish.
Yeah.
And they nail it to a board.
And gut it and everything like that. And I was just, like, looking around at all the little kids around me. And they seem to be handling it just fine. Maybe kids are more desensitized than I think these days. But I was like, as a kid, I would probably have been like, oh. Those were, like, the only moments. And they were just most of the things. I was like, they have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
Because all they're seeing is like a dog on the screen. But I was just thinking, I was like, do they even understand what's happening? I don't know.
There was a Broadway show on Netflix that I loved. It was Oh Hello. Or what was it called?
I think it was Oh Hello.
Was it just Oh Hello? It had John Mulaney and I can't remember his name for the life of me. But it was John Mulaney and his producing partner and writing partner playing old men on it. And for 2 hours, they're just making crazy New York references and like really esoteric stuff, like talking about sitcoms from the 70s or movies from the 50s or, you know, like a lot of political references from the 90s. And there was one moment where one of the actors starts walking through the audience, and he's doing crowd work, and he looks at it. He's like, "How old are you?" And he's like, 14. Did you get any of this?
It's true. Yeah.
And that's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah.
While watching this movie, like with a bunch of kids, and I'm like, "Are you getting any of this? Are you laughing at any of this?" I didn't hear the kids laugh.
No,
once.
I didn't either.
There was no giggles.
I honestly
no...
think that they just were like looking at the screen and the dogs. And the colors. I think that was about it.
Because it wasn't like, it wasn't inappropriate. Like there was, like you said, like Atari pulled out a thing from his head.
Mm-hmm.
There was that aggressive sushi making that was pretty graphic, but it was still just a fish.
Right.
And then I think there was a character who was poisoned and you saw his corpse.
Right.
You know, that was, you know, for a kid, that could be a little graphic. And other than that, though, it was really just humor that went over their heads.
Right. Exactly.
And so we weren't just like, oh, this is inappropriate. It's just, this is not going to be entertaining for them.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, was it entertaining for us.
Oh, yes. I mean, we were laughing throughout.
Out loud.
Yeah.
Not just chortles.
No. And I mean, I think we're probably primed because we love Wes Anderson and we got a Wes Anderson film. But it was funny. It was just straight up funny, too.
Yeah.
I just love that dry sense of humor that he brings to all of his projects. It's just, it's perfect.
And the fact that, like, all these dogs had snout fever, which is one of the reasons why they were on Garbage Island. And one of the symptoms of snout fever was random sneezing.
Yeah.
I mean, that in itself was hilarious because for no reason at all, like, you'd have this really tense moment and then you'd see a dog go...
You're right, exactly. And we both had dogs growing up, and you like that's how a dog sneezes. And yeah, it's hilarious in itself. So just seeing that intense moments was just so funny.
And then you have Bryan Cranston talking to Ed Norton, and he's just like he's saying it's like when I was younger, and I wasn't a stray the entire time. You know, I had a family who took. You have a tick there. And then right. He continues on speaking. Right. He's like, that's freaking hilarious.
So Wes Anderson.
They just remind you, like, for a moment, you forget that they're dogs.
Right.
Because the voice acting is so great and so intense at times. Mm-hmm. But then they remind you
yes.
that they're dogs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, one of my favorite moments was Oracle. And it's Tilda Swinton. Mm-hmm. And she only had, like, two lines. But it was hilarious because she's the Oracle because she understands TV.
And they kept saying they're like according to one of Oracle's latest visions, and then right. you see her just watching TV. And then she turns to the character and says, "It may rain tomorrow," or no, wait, like it may snow tomorrow.
Right, right. And it's just it. So funny. Yeah,
and that's great. The thing. Like us saying that right now doesn't sound that funny.
No,
but within a Wes Anderson context, it's freaking hilarious.
Absolutely.
Just like the idea in Miss Fantastic Mr. Fox. A wolf in the distance raising its hand in the air as a salute, saying it out loud is not funny, but that was the funniest thing in the movie.
It's true. It's very true. Yeah. It's those little moments. And it's just so crazy that I feel like with these claymation, they are able to capture the eyes and the... You know, the way that a Wes Anderson character moves,
mm-hmm.
and it's so unique and it's so Wes Anderson that it's just beautiful that they can capture that. I feel like he's almost, because now he's done two of these, I feel like now this is like a separate thing that you're like, oh, that reminds me of a Wes Anderson claymation movie.
Yeah.
Because it is unique even for other claymation films. Because, I mean, we've seen other ones like that, but... He has his unique style within that genre now.
It's still Wes Anderson,
exactly.
But yet it's a separate set of Wes Anderson
right,
rules.
Right, yeah. Like I love, he always has the puppets or claymate, whatever
puppets,
they are.
Yeah.
Their eyes water up,
mm-hmm.
and it's just so perfect. And you feel it, and you're like, oh, yes, I love that. I just love that little emotion that he adds in there. It's great. It's so great.
Because we haven't really spoiled anything yet, I want to continue not spoiling.
Okay.
Because like there's one moment at the end where I was just like, you better not. Better not. There's no reason to do this. There's no reason to do this. And then you're like, okay, thank God.
Well, I think it's fair to say that Wes Anderson often will kill pets.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So I was expecting a lot of dog deaths. I mean, yeah. I mean, think about Buckley. From
poor Buckley.
from Royal Tenenbaums.
Or the dog in Moonrise.
Right. So, I mean.
Or the cat in Budapest.
Exactly.
So many unnecessary animal deaths.
Yes. I was expecting a lot of animal deaths.
Thankfully, it was not just carnage.
Right.
So, what was your favorite moment from the movie? For me, I was probably, I already talked about like my favorite shot.
Okay. Was the bottles, the sake bottles?
Was the bottles, yeah. But favorite moment? I don't know.
You didn't even have one to say it.
Yeah.
It's so hard to like pick a favorite moment. I feel like I'd have to watch it again.
Yeah.
But I do think that I loved the moment where there was kind of like this feeling between Bryan Cranston's character in Atari where they like he was trusting a human and like trusting that relationship, and there was also kind of like there was this like feeling of like, okay, everything's gonna be all right for this character.
Mm-hmm.
But I also really loved the moments where Ed Norton's character was shot down as being like the leader a lot. I really loved those moments.
Yeah, like he kept saying what to do. Yes. And then Bryan Cranston said, "You're not our leader."
Right. I love that. That was great.
probably my favorite moment. Like, I can't say one favorite moment, but my favorite moments were when all the dogs were together.
Yeah.
When the pack was together and they were interacting.
Those are perfect.
I think those were my favorite moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where would you rank this?
Ooh.
Have you thought about that?
I have to think about it. Hmm. All right. Well, let's think here. Okay. I would say let's go from like least favorite. I think Bottle Rocket is my least favorite.
Yeah. Same here.
Is that yours?
Yeah. Okay. Same.
I like Rushmore, but I think that this is above Rushmore for me.
Oh, yeah. This is definitely above Rushmore.
Okay. So we didn't like Grand Budapest very much. So I'd say
the world loves Grand Budapest.
I know, but we didn't really. We watched it multiple times. I just didn't connect with it as much.
Yeah.
So I would say for me, we're going least right now. Mm-hmm. Is my least favorite is Bottle Rocket, and then Grand Budapest, and then Rushmore, and then probably Isle of Dogs.
Okay. And then Moonrise.
Yeah. And then what do I got left? My favorites, right?
Yeah, Phantasm, Mrs. Fox, Life Aquatic, and Royal Tenenbaums.
Well, there you go. That's my
in
order.
That order.
Yeah. Okay.
I would put this below Isle of Dogs. I'm sorry. I'll go at the. So my top one is Royal Tenenbaums, then Life Aquatic, then Phantasm, Mr. Fox, then Isle of Dogs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I would go.
Okay.
That's what I would go with.
Cool. Very cool. I definitely changed your mind about Life Aquatic and Royal Tenenbaums.
Yes.
But you made me love Life Aquatic more.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is
Life Aquatic used to be my favorite.
Yeah. That is a hilarious movie.
All right. Well, that's our ranking. That was one thing I wanted to end on.
Was
the ranking of Wes Anderson films. And you guys should follow me on Letterboxd because I have a lot of movie rankings on there. And I've been cataloging.
I've been slacking.
You've been very much slacking on Letterboxd.
I know. People started following me and then I feel bad. And I'm like, I don't have time.
Everyone should follow me on Letterboxd. You can find me at The Insane Robin, of course. But yeah, like I've been keeping a diary of every single movie that you and I have watched for the year.
Oh,
and I've been writing a mini review for everything that we've watched.
Yeah, I've not done that.
So everyone should check it out. But yes, okay. So thank you guys so much for listening. And again, you know, help us out if you can. Go to GoFundMe.com/TheNerdParty. Again, GoFundMe.com/TheNerdParty. Spread the word. Donate, give if you can.
And thank you, those of you who have.
And thank you to those of you who have. It really means a lot to us. You can find us on social media. You can find us, all of our back episodes, our back catalog, all of our other shows on the network, Star Wars, Star Trek, Harry Potter, all that business. You can find all of that by going to thenerdparty.com.
I love you.
I know.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't know.